The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
A very good afternoon, Rolien. How are you this afternoon?
I'm good. And yourself? I think, like many people in the Northern Hemisphere, sweltering a bit. But what can we do? Hey, at least we're not as hot as it is in the UK. My thoughts with everybody there.
Absolutely. So, Rolien, today, President Biden concluded his trip to the Middle East over the weekend. It was a much anticipated visit, that we know. And as we look back at Biden's trip, firstly, what were the most important achievements?
Well, first of all, I think we need to look at the circumstances or the environment that this trip took place in. The visit of Israel's strongest and most important ally is always going to be a very, very big deal for Israel. It doesn't matter who the president is. It doesn't matter who our prime minister is. The ties between our two countries and the offices that they represent is the most important thing. And, you know, we look back on this trip and with the understanding that Israel right now is in a very precarious position because we have a caretaker government. We are still right now on the track, on the trail to elections, which will be happening on the 1st of November. So when we left off last week, the president had received his Medal of Honor from our president, Isaac Herzog. After that, he went to meet with the U.S. participants for the Maccabiah. He attended the opening, some incredible optics. I mean, one thing that we can say about this trip is that the optics are very, very strong. Some of the quotes coming from him were very, very strong, referring to Jewish indigeneity, also saying, I am and will always be a Zionist. The one thing about President Biden, whether you agree with his politics or ability to run the country, whatever, we know that there is a very, very diverse pool of opinions out there, is the one thing you can't detract from the president is his ability to engage with people. We saw that in Yad Vashem. We saw that throughout his trip. And on Friday morning, this is what Israel was watching very carefully, was his visit with Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas. Now, they conducted a joint press conference. The U.S. pledged $100 million in aid specifically to Palestinian hospitals. Very concerning for Israel is a pledge of about $200 million to UNRWA. Now, we know that UNRWA, the United Nations Relief Works Agency, has seen its funding pulled by various administrations, including the United Arab Emirates and the former administration, because of what many see as perpetuating the conflict. So this has raised concerns in Israel, many saying, you know, you can't talk about two-state solutions and then foster a climate that perpetuates the conflict. However, in his joint presser, he did say that the ground is not ready for a two-state solution, something that the Palestinians took umbrage at. So I don't envy any world leader that has to navigate the delicate balance between the two sides. From Abbas's side, he wants a consulate in East Jerusalem. That's not going to happen without Israel's expressed permission. He wants Israel to accept or be held accountable for the fatal shooting of Shirin Abu Akleh. Biden took some criticism for not being able to pronounce Abu Akleh effectively. And again, Israel was not happy with that because two independent investigations have found that it's inconclusive who shot her. And there was an empty chair there for the ghost of Abu Akleh, or in symbolism of her that was missing, and the Palestinians demanded the end of the occupation. Biden then went to visit the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, hugely symbolic. He is a very, very observant Catholic, and that is the birthplace of Jesus. He then departed for Ben Gurion Airport, a very, very short ceremony before boarding Air Force One off to Jeddah. Of course, the huge, huge news earlier that day was the Saudi announcement that they would be opening up airspace to all Israeli overflights, which is a significant step towards what we see as normalization. Also for Israeli travelers to and from India, Australia, New Zealand, Thailand, China, that side of the world, this could result in a significant reduction in travel time, in fuel costs, and in ticket costs. Very, very positive, however, and our Prime Minister was very, very emphatic to stress why he believes this is a first step. It is any movement towards normalizations with the Saudis, we will proceed with the necessary caution being his words. And the big issue will be what will happen in Saudi Arabia. And looking at Biden's visits to Saudi Arabia, no great gains. No great momentous gains. We weren't expecting anything, or perhaps if there is anything great that was gained, we will only find out in due course. But from Israel's perspective, certainly a message driven home to those within the democratic camp that are vocally anti-Israel, and for others that the alliance, the relationship between our two countries remains as strong as and as committed as it ever has been.
And Rolina, regarding Biden's trip, do you think that there were any missed opportunities by his visit?
I think there were missed opportunities. I think that especially on Friday, you know, pledging so much aid to the Palestinians, coming without caveats like to end pay for slay, or demanding that funding on UNRWA be conditional on what they put in their textbooks, that might be something that's put in there, you know, it wasn't certainly announced. These are missed opportunities, you know. If the Palestinians are to be seen as serious about negotiation, they also have to make concessions, and also placing demand on the Palestinians to recognize that Israel exists. This is a reality. Israel is not going to go anywhere anytime soon, despite the enthusiastic efforts and language by many. We are a sovereign state. We exist. We're here in the region. We see the region opening up to us. I mean, as we speak, our IDF Ramat Kal Chief of Staff Aviv Kochavi has just landed in Morocco on his first official visit. These are huge milestones. We saw it with the Saudis. It is now going to be up to the leadership of the Palestinians to come to the party, and also a strong leadership of the Americans to kind of make them see what the possibilities are.
And over the weekend, there was an uptick in terror from the Palestinians. And fill us in as regards to what happened.
Well, we had rockets fired from the Gaza Strip into southern Israel as far as Ashkelon, the early hours of Saturday morning, setting off the sirens there. No casualties or damage, but the Israeli Air Force responded very, very strongly by bombing both underground and overground rocket launching sites and factories. And Prime Minister Lapid, in his session with the cabinet yesterday, said that we will respond swiftly and forcefully to any projectiles, anything fired from Gaza. And of course, yesterday, also the extremely sad news of a policeman who was killed when a 17-year-old Palestinian who was driving a stolen car rammed into him. Now, it's still unclear whether or not the motive was criminal or what we often refer to as national, but what we do know is we have yet another casualty in the conflict with the Palestinians.
And today is International Nelson Mandela Day. So we all know that Mandela had a complicated relationship with Israel, and but he did believe in Israel's right to exist, that we know. And today, BDS have tried to co-opt his legacy. What was Mandela's history with Israel?
Well, it was a very, very complicated, but also at the same time, it was a significant relationship. You know, I think what set Mandela apart from other diplomats, other world leaders, was his ability to engage both sides. While he was very critical at some points of Israel, he was also a great admirer in people like Menachem Begin. He spoke about wanting to model his Mkhonto we Sizwe on the troops that Menachem Begin commanded. He also was and acknowledged the importance of Zionism as the national liberation movement of the Jewish people. You know, a lot of people try to draw attention to the relationship between Israel and South Africa during the apartheid years without looking at the facts or the nuances, you know, just glossing over the above. You know, Mandela was extremely grateful to El Al Airlines for flying Walter Sisulu at a time where he had no passport. We can't forget that both Golda Meir and David Ben-Gurion condemned apartheid as they sought to increase Israel's relations with the rest of the world. And of course, today we have BDS trying to co-opt the legacy of Nelson Mandela with the quote that we can't be free until the Palestinians are free. And while he did say that, he followed that with, I cannot conceive of an Israel that does not exist or an Arab withdrawal that does not exist without being in safe and secure borders. So he acknowledged Israeli self-determination and Israel's
you.
Right to
Unfortunately,
exist.
Rolene, I have to cut you short. And thank you, Rolene. Thank you for that insight. Have a very good evening.